from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at wvhtf.org.
The West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers. Online at wvaflcio.org.
At the legislature today, could this be the year lawmakers vote to increase the cigarette tax? It's been debated for years, but merchants in counties that border other states where the taxes are higher or lower are reluctant to give up the competitive advantage. And another attempt in the House today to take a bill away from committee consideration for debate and vote on the floor. These stories and more coming up on the legislature today. I'm Beth Voorhees. Governor Tomlin has just announced the initiation of a home water testing project for residents in the affected 9-county area. Last week at a news briefing with the CDC and the US EPA, reporters asked the governor if he would consider testing homes for the presence of MCHM in their water. The governor was reluctant, but after further questioning by reporters about restoring trust in the water, the water company, and in the government, the governor said at that time that he would consider it. Senate President Jeff Kessler and House Speaker Tim Miley also supported home water testing on random homes. Here is the statement from the governor's office that's just been sent to us. Governor Tomlin has directed the West Virginia Bureau for Public Health, in cooperation with local and state health officials, to move forward quickly to put together a home testing project called West Virginia Testing Assessment Project, or WVTAP, for residences in the affected 9-county area. The Bureau for Public Health has engaged independent scientific experts to initiate an initial assessment for testing water at the tap in homes. Different styles of plumbing materials found in homes will be included in the scope of this study. Initiate an in-depth analysis to determine the odor threshold for MCHM. Establish an independent panel of experts to evaluate the safety factor of the chemical. Governor Tomlin has committed $650,000 from his budget for the initial work. The governor has also reached out to Senators Rockefeller and Manchin, as well as Congressman Rahal, Congresswoman Capito, to ask for their support of federal assistance to conduct ongoing research addressing short-term and long-term health impacts, in addition to the fundamental research about this chemical. That news just in from the governor's office. Well, four bills were unanimously passed by the upper chamber today and now head across the rotunda for the House's consideration. Senators were also introduced to a bill that would raise a tax to help ease the short-term burden of the state budget. Ashton Morrow reports.
The Senate gaveled in for day 34 of this 60-day session, putting four bills up to a vote. The first, Senate Bill 90, creating a criminal offense for preventing or interfering with someone calling for emergency assistance. Senate Judiciary Chair Senator Corey Palumbo.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 90 would create a new offense of intentionally interfering with another person's access to emergency services like police, fire, or emergency medical services. It would set up a three-tiered system. All would be misdemeanors.
The bill passed unanimously without discussion. Also placed on a vote, Senate Bill 450. Currently, restaurants with outdoor seating areas are permitted to sell beer to patrons, but not liquor. This bill would change that.
This bill would also allow for the sale of other alcoholic beverages in those areas. The bill would make clear that alcoholic beverages can only be served in outdoor areas dedicated solely to dining rather than dancing or limited video lottery terminals. It would also clarify that only actual restaurants that prepare food on the premises may have such designated areas.
It, too, passed on a 34-0 vote, along with Senate Bill 403, regulating the possession, purchase, importation, and release of certain species of carp and other aquatic life that are found to be dangerous to other wildlife in West Virginia's streams, and Senate Bill 454, defining the owner of a dam for the Dam Control Act. Seven bills were introduced and will now begin the committee process, including Senate Bill 534 to increase the excise tax on cigarettes and other tobacco products. On a pack of cigarettes, the tax would increase by a dollar, totaling $1.55. On all other tobacco products, the tax increases from 7% of the wholesale price to 50%.
From a polling standpoint, people say they don't have a problem with you increasing, cigarette taxes and things like that. So our intent is, you know, we'd like to have less tobacco usage in the state of West Virginia. That's one thing. Increasing it does have an effect on that. The other side of it is right now we are in a budget crunch. The budget crunch is mainly because of our Medicaid budget.
The bill will use the new revenue to help ease the state's Medicaid burden for fiscal years 2015 and 2016. After 2 years, the tax will go back into the state's general revenue fund as it does now. On the floor, Senator Eric Wells of Kanawha County rose to speak to a bill introduced every session for the past several years. The Employee and Housing Non-Discrimination Act would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the Human Rights Act.
Mr. President, several years ago, this body passed 34-0, the EDNA bill, the Employee Non-Discrimination Act, that involves the fact that you should not be discriminating against somebody based on their sexual orientation. 34-0. And we know how West Virginia is from the standpoint of people's beliefs. And I remember being here that night, and I thought, what a great message from a conservative state to send out. The next year, it was a much closer vote, but it still passed. I don't hold out much hope that it's going to pass this year.
The bill has been introduced in both chambers and sent to their respective judiciary committees for consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in the Senate.
A vote resulting in a tie is a rarity in the House of Delegates, but one occurred today. While there were no bills up for passage, with today being pro-life day at the Capitol, there was an attempt to discharge House Bill 2364 from committee for a vote directly on the floor. Ashton Payne reports.
The bill, also known as the Payne-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, would restrict abortions in West Virginia after 20 weeks, create criminal penalties for such procedures, and create a special revenue fund known as the West Virginia Payne-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act Litigation Fund. Delegate Tim Armstead says the bill's purpose is to make West Virginia's laws on abortion similar to other states around the country.
What this bill did, which was a bill was actually sponsored by both Republicans and Democrats here in the House, what it did is it said after 20 weeks, the only time an abortion would be permitted would be when the life of the mother is in danger. And so we just wanted to actually put our state in line with the majority of other states in the country in terms of at least determining when that point is. The real point here is that after that point, medical experts have said that that a child can feel pain. And we believe that after that child, particularly as long as, while there's several of us who believe that abortion should not be legal in our country, as long as that is the case, we certainly feel like there should be restrictions that after a child can feel pain, that there should not be abortions except in the situation where the life of the mother is in danger.
The motion to discharge the bill from committee was rejected after the vote came to a 48-48 tie. This means that the bill will continue through the normal committee process, designated to go through Health and Human Resources and then Judiciary. However, some delegates feel that today's vote has killed the bill since it has been over a month since its introduction and it has yet to go through its first committee. Also, during today's floor session, a bill was introduced that would increase the sales and use tax by 1%. The increase would only last until 2018, when it is projected that West Virginia's financial state will improve. The bill's lone sponsor, Delegate Jim Morgan, says that the increase is not simply a tax increase, but but an investment in the future of West Virginia.
I believe it's time for us to ask all West Virginians to invest in the well-being of West Virginia. In Bill 4456, I propose to increase the general sales tax from 6% to 7%, which will bring in an additional $200 million in income. It would last only 4 years until the West Virginia financial situation is to be back to normal and have revenue which exceeds expenses. It's certainly a broad-based tax, we can't dispute that, and it will cost each person $1 for every $100 of purchases they make, 1 cent on the dollar. For the average person, that would probably be less than $15 a month. It's not a tax and spend, it is a tax and improve.
The bill has been referenced to the Finance Committee. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
In a moment, we'll meet members of the State Women's Commission. First, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the Senate today. Among the bills introduced in the Senate today, Senate Bill 534 to increase the cigarette tobacco tax. The revenue is to be deposited into the West Virginia Medical Services Fund for the next 2 fiscal years. Senate Bill 535 to clarify that persons who buy dried ginseng root for retail sales are not dealers. Senate Bill 536 to provide in-state tuition to honorably discharged and injured veterans regardless of state residency. Senate Bill 537 to adopt the federal definition for disabled veterans' preference eligibility in hiring for state civil service jobs and resident vendor bidding on state contracts. And Senate Bill 539 to provide that law enforcement officers employed as school security be allowed to carry firearms on school property. Up for passage in the Senate tomorrow, Senate Bill 458 to impose certain additional fees in circuit courts to fund civil legal services for low-income persons, and Senate Bill 483 to rename the administrative heads of the Potomac campus of West Virginia University and the West Virginia University Institute of Technology. The titles change from provost to president. On the state's website, it reads that the West Virginia Women's Commission promotes the status and empowerment of all West Virginia women through advocacy, research, education, and consensus building. The commission exists to foster women's economic, political, educational, and social development. Joining us tonight are Tara Martinez, the executive director, and Stacy North, the public policy chair of the West Virginia Women's Commission. Ladies, welcome. Thank you. Glad you're here. Women's Day at the legislature, it comes up every year. What's it for? What do you do?
Well, when I started at the commission, Women's Day at the legislature was really focused on women having an outlet to find their voice with of issues of importance to them, having an opportunity to go speak with their legislators. The first year I did Women's Commission, women came up to me and said, "We don't know what to say. We're not sure what we need to talk about, how to approach our legislators. We're kind of intimidated by walking into this big marble building. We don't know where to go." So one of the suggestions I made to our commission was, let's make it a 2-day event. Let's teach these women. Let's support them in how to use their voice and how to speak to their legislators and really come up with some issues that we may think may be of importance to them from our research. And thus came the 2-day event. So they have the opportunity to learn and then go the next day and use their voice.
What do you say to them to make them comfortable going into the big marble halls of the Capitol and talking to their elected legislators? What hints do you have for them?
Well, one of the things that we've done recently is we had the breakfast this morning. So you get to sit down and you eat with these guys and talk to them and find out that they're real people. Mm-hmm. We have classes that explain how you promote your idea. For instance, it's not all at the legislature. It doesn't stop with Women's Day. You need to go back. You need to make sure that you're keeping your issue in front of people and making sure that you keep in touch with your legislator during the year. We have a number of policy classes. Mm-hmm. Where we had roundtables today where everybody sat and talked about what their issues are and what bills are moving and how to promote that with the legislators so that it has a better chance of getting out of committee.
Do you think it works? Does it make them more comfortable in approaching lawmakers?
I think it does. Over the past couple of years, what I've found, women coming up to us and saying, and especially young women, we had a youth portion, and these young women were 14 to 18 years old, ready to take over the halls. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were ready to go in and talk about issues of importance to them. And I think it opens them up. One of the things that I always tell women is from the janitor in the halls all the way up to our elected officials, they're public servants. We're all here for the sole purpose of serving you. Mm-hmm. You need to feel comfortable telling us what you need.
Right. So you had this breakfast and roundtable today. What will you do tomorrow?
Tomorrow we will be hitting the halls and advocating, lobbying if you will, but really more of an advocacy role in support of around 20 organizations that we've been able to form a bit of a coalition with, everything from the Alzheimer's Association to the Family Resource Networks throughout the state. All the way to the Breastfeeding Alliance and midwives. Mm-hmm. From birth to later in life, we're really trying to fulfill all of the needs, issues, and concerns of women in the state.
Briefly, what's the history of the Women's Commission? When was it formed and what for?
It was formed in 1977, and the commission was formed really out of a need for bringing to light issues of equal pay. We fast forward to 2009, where we really started focusing on research across the state and doing focus groups. And currently, in 2013, we completed a status of West Virginia women and girls with the Institute of Women's Policy Research and a number of our partner organizations.
I have your news release here that was issued April 2013 when this came out. A recently released report, The Status of Women and Girls in West Virginia, shows women in the state have made gains in education and entrepreneurship, but still face disproportionate levels of poverty and a gapping gender wage gap. What do you seek the legislature to do to address these issues?
Well, we take the information from that to back up bills that we are advocating for. For instance, the minimum wage bill. Most women are in service industries. They're single mothers, and they are the prime provider for the family. Mm-hmm. We're not back in the day where you have the two-parent family and everybody, one person gets to stay home. With minimum wage being raised to a livable wage, you can provide for your family and still have some security. So that's part of what we work with. Mm-hmm. Making sure that child care is available, making sure that elder care is available. Elder care is a huge issue for a lot of our women, and there aren't a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. And the person that takes care of everybody is the woman. So those are issues where we want them to provide programs and resources and put some mm-hmm. legislative backing behind to make sure that people can move out of poverty.
West Virginia is a very diverse state mm-hmm. in economic levels all throughout the
yes.
state. And you've broken the state up into five regions. Can you describe what those five regions are and what they tell you about women in that particular region?
Without going into a huge amount of detail, our five regions are the Northern Panhandle, the Eastern Panhandle, North Central West Virginia, Central West Virginia, and Southern West Virginia. And it's amazing to see the differences in the needs and concerns of women in those five regions. Mm-hmm. Women in the Northern Panhandle don't have the same issues as far as having access to resources, okay. transportation, things of those of that nature as women in the southern mm-hmm. part of the state.
Mm-hmm. Also, according to this release, in some good news for the state, the number of women-owned businesses increased by nearly 3,500 between 1997 and 2007. One recent study shows that the state has experienced faster than average growth in the revenues women-owned firms contribute to the economy. So it seems as though the Women's Commission would have some success here.
Absolutely. I think that our support of especially small female-owned businesses in connecting them with resources and working with other organizations in the state, such as the Women's Business Center in Southern West Virginia when it was up and running, and it is back up and running again. Mm-hmm. Connecting those women, teaching them how to, one, find marketing, the Small Business Administration, finding those low-cost loans, mm-hmm. That's key to keeping small businesses, key to keeping our state functioning and the revenue sources. We're 11th in the nation. That's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You probably travel around the state to these five regions and talk to a lot of women. What do you learn whenever you get to a group of women together and start talking about their issues? What do you come away with?
You come away with the sense that that empowering women is a good thing, that being able to get people to recognize their potential is good for not just women, but for everybody. Like Tara was saying, we have the younger women at our program today, and they rock. They are so cool, and they have a lot of really new ideas. They're excited about becoming older women, I guess, yeah. You know, growing up and contributing to society. And giving them the tools to do that is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Giving anybody the tools to do that is exciting. But that you know, the idea that we can bring people out of their shell and make them a little more empowered mm-hmm. Is great.
And just some advice yeah. about how to approach a lawmaker kind of goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Stacey North and Tara Martinez of the West Virginia Women's Commission, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today. Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 4456, to increase the consumer sales and use taxes by 1 cent from 6% to 7% with certain exceptions. The tax increase would expire on July 1st, 2018. House Bill 4459, to permit a tenant to terminate a residential lease in circumstances relating to domestic violence or sexual assault. The bill also addresses changing the locks when a protection order has been issued. House Bill 4462, to create a new intermediate court of appeals. House Bill 4464, to amend certain provisions of the Freedom of Information Act. House Bill 4465, to ensure that persons convicted of felony, treason, and bribery in an election are not allowed to run for or hold any elective or appointive office. And House Bill 4466, to authorize local governments to create districts to promote the use of renewable energy systems and energy efficiency improvements by owners of certain real property. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, House Bill 4208, to control certain drugs, including synthetic hallucinogens, by better conforming the state lists of controlled substances to the federal lists. House Bill 4283, raising the minimum wage to $8 an hour on January 1st, 2015, and to $8.75 an hour on January 1st, 2016. House Bill 4414, relating to the solicitation of public employees by a candidate for an elective office, and to clarify that electronic communications is a form of contact. And House Bill 4421, to allow the lottery to pay prizes utilizing electronic funds transfer. Among the bills on second reading, House Bill 4237, to define alternative nicotine products and electronic cigarettes, prohibit the sale of these products to individuals under 18 years of age, and add these to the list of products for which unannounced inspections may be conducted to ensure compliance with sales restrictions. And House Bill 4412, to create a one-day special license for charitable events to sell beer for a $25 fee. And this has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow is Marshall Day at the Legislature. We'll get the latest from that campus from Dr. Stephen J. Kopp, the president of Marshall University. We welcome your comments. You can email us at feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and find us on Facebook. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for the Legislature Today provided by the West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers, online at WVAFLCIO.org.